Today on 4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Let me have a look at the details here of this dreadful business up at Cooktown. This is what it says in the Cairns Post today. Under the heading, "It's illegal and risks fatal croc behaviour," Emma Cam wrote, "Disturbing footage has emerged of a large crocodile being fed by a fisherman at the spot where a man later slipped and was dragged underwater in front of his family. The video shows the man standing next to a large blue esky with about seven people, including a young boy, at the top of the embankment at Crocodile Bend along the Annan River. Large portions of raw meat and fish are then thrown into the water as the group watch a crocodile surface to snatch the food. A Cooktown resident previously told the Cairns Post locals had been feeding crocodiles in the area roadkill and other food. The Environment Department said it was highly concerned by the videos. And the spokesman said feeding crocodiles placed visitors at much greater risk of attack. Look, I'll cut to the chase here. It goes on to say it comes as the search resumed yesterday morning for a man feared to be dead after he was dragged underwater by a crocodile while fishing on the weekend in far north Queensland. The man was travelling from New South Wales with his family when they reportedly stopped to fish at a popular watering hole on the Annan River near Cooktown, 326 kilometres north of Cairns. It goes on to say it's understood he slipped and fell down the bank while fishing with his family. This is at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon when he was reportedly dragged underwater by the crocodile. Look, there's a lot more detail here about this whole matter. But the fact of the matter is, this is sort of thing seemingly happens. In fact, it's almost like every 2 or 3 years, I don't know what it is, but seemingly the people of North Queensland, in this case, this was a visitor from New South Wales, we fundamentally become lazy again about our wariness of this particular matter. Every 2 or 3 years, there's a fatality or a near miss, and we all stand to attention and keep our distance from the river, the river's edge or river banks. And then over the next 2, 3 or 4 years, we'll all go back to our bad habits. So obviously, this is something we need to learn more about. Now, over the years, of course, we've had people that continually remind us about these days. Brett Moller's been very prominent in that particular regard. Alan Benn just recently also, including yesterday, reminding us that these things are a damn ever-present danger even within city limits. John Mondora's another gentleman who over the years has been keen to warn people about the fact that these things are everywhere now. They're going further upstream, etc. They're a constant threat in some of those near-coastal streams, constant threat. And people, fundamentally, if you don't see them, you forget they're there, which is why they're so dreadfully, dreadfully dangerous. I just put a call through to John. He's just picked up the phone. John Mondora, good morning.
How are you, Mr. McKenzie?
We haven't spoken for a long time. I understand you've been a bit crook.
Yeah, that's another classic example of how smart the human race is. I had a little chest puncher just to get a little sample out, and the big time doctor put me on this special special pill that's completely harmless. 4 days later, I was in hospital. I've been sick for the last month and a half.
Oh,
I was highly allergic to it, but warned me. He never warned me that that could happen. But it bloody well does happen, John. Yeah. Whenever people touch, things go wrong. Look, I'll give you a classic now. Yes. This is the classic of all time. On the Yarrabah Pine Creek Road, right? I've got 6 acres, the last of the farm left there.
Yeah.
And I'm about 200 yards off the creek, but the northeast boundary is about 50 yards off the water. And a guy's living down there. And the other day, he comes out of his house, there's a dirty big pig standing on the headland, so he shoots it.
Yes.
And fair enough, it's a feral animal. And he drags it, it's a big pig, and he drags it halfway across the headland, to where he can go over the bank to put it down near, you know, away from him and near the water.
Mm.
And he says, oh, bugger, this is a bit heavy, so I better go and get a cup of coffee. And he comes back, out of the corner of my cane comes a 15-foot crocodile.
No.
Picks the pig up,
oh,
carries it across the headland and into the water. Because I said to my wife, you better go and tell him if he's got any grandkids, for Christ's sake, don't let him swim in that creek anymore.
No.
Every kid in Gorn Vallum, which Brent Vallum backed right up here, under the age of 80, learned to swim in that creek. Now no one's going to go within 50 yards of the bloody creek.
Hell.
That's how the world has changed, John.
How far would the croc have had to go across land to pick up the pig?
Well, I don't know how far he was in the cane.
Wait,
he must have been in there having a nice little spell, you know, getting out of the sun. As he said, mate, this was a hell of a bloody big crocodile.
Well, exactly. It's got to be 4 to 5 metres.
Oh, yeah. Paul Gregory down on the Redbank Road, down from me, on his headland, he said, John, don't walk around the headland, for Christ's sake. There's a crocodile big enough there to eat you and the bloody car.
Hell.
And so, you know, it's just got completely out of hand, John.
Mm.
Remember a couple of years ago I said to you, when a wild animal loses its fear of man, be careful.
Yeah.
Now, John, if you're in Africa and there was a lagoon on your property where a big old wine would come every afternoon to drink, would you go down there and say good afternoon to it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you just got to be aware of these bloody things.
Exactly, exactly. That analogy we referred to from time to time, what they won't tolerate in Africa, we fundamentally nod off and just accept it as part of what we have to tolerate here in Australia. Look, recently, of course, too, in the city, we've had this discussion again and again. Within city limits, these things are there. We get to talk about it from time to time. Nobody seems to follow through and make our creeks and whatever waterways within our city limits safer. So that's something we've got to keep focusing on. But can I just ask you once again, John, the reality is, and I made this point this morning, every, what would it be, 2 or 3 years or maybe a bit more, we have a fatality or a near fatality or an attack or whatever. And everyone stands to attention and does all the right things. And then we just drift back into this foggy acceptance of our environment without considering the dangers within.
Yes, John, it would probably be 10 or 12 years ago now, or maybe more. Jennifer and I went up and fished the Barra Classic on the Dunedale River, and man, you wouldn't see crocodiles, that's where the crocodiles are.
Mm.
Anyway, the Minister of Fisheries come out to present the trophies and all the rest of it, and someone got up and said, you know, call for questions, and someone said, well, what are you going to do about the crocodiles, old mate?
Mm.
And he said, well, what can we do? Think about that. Oh, Mike, it's easy. And he said, well, you tell me, you obviously come from Melbourne or somewhere where people are much smarter than in Darwin. He said, no, shoot them. And he was just stunned. He said, what the hell are you saying? The thing's fully protected. He said, I said, shoot it, don't kill it.
Mm.
He said, go up to the river at night with the rangers and that, with shotguns, the number 7 bird shot, which won't hurt nothing.
Mm.
Shoot him up the bum a couple of times and you won't see him for 20 years. And he's dead right.
Because
when I was a teenager, when we'd go down the inlet at night with a spotlight, you'd see a few crocodiles. But you wouldn't get within, you see the red eyes, you wouldn't get within, buddy, 300 yards of them.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different ball game now. You go down there and show the spotlight, all you see is bloody eyes looking back at you.
Yes.
Because why would they be worried?
Exactly.
You're not going to hurt them.
Exactly. In the past, John, you've talked about those rivers and streams down, south of Gordon Vale, fundamentally, and the fact that people, because they haven't seen them there for a while, think, oh, they're not there anymore. But you've warned people in the past, particularly, for example, it used to be downstream from Gordon Vale in the Mulgrave River. Now it's upstream as well from Gordon Vale in the Mulgrave River.
Well, John, I'll tell you something now. I was taking you for a while. I can't mention the guy's name. He's a part Aboriginal, but he's been working in the Cairns for 50 years.
Mm.
And he loves fishing, loves spearing, and he used to work with my nephew, and he said, Geoffrey, I don't know what the hell's going on in the Mulgrave River, He went up the weekend before, way up into the top of the mountains. He said, if I'd have said that another 5 steps, I'd have been in Malanda. And he said, little rapids and it's cold, and he sees this big animal swimming up the river, and he says, what the hell is a big goanna doing here? Mm. You know, they come up here. I must be seeing things. And he walks over, and it's a whopping big crocodile.
No.
And he said to Jeffrey, he said, it was a saltwater crocodile. And Jeffrey said, oh, come on, John, for Christ's sake. You must have been mistaken. He said, Jeffrey, I'm a black fella. I know what a black and what a saltwater crocodile looks like.
Wow.
Now, John, that's way up in the rainforest.
Wow.
So you tell me where is completely safe anymore.
Hell, that is amazing. You would wonder what the altitude would be up there. How far up past the pub would it have been?
Oh, way up past the pub.
Yeah.
Way up in the bloody rainforest.
Wow.
He said, I walked right up to the bloody thing and never took a bit of notice of me.
Oh, really?
So there you go. Where exactly is the question is, where is completely safe? Be careful going in your toilet.
Exactly. You know what? The signage needs to be, well, a lot more effective, and there needs to be a lot more of it in a lot more locations.
Yes.
And to his credit, the Division 1 councillor, Brett Moller, brings this up again and again on the programs, but you even wonder, is that going to be enough? Aren't there places where we can actually create, where people can feel safe? I don't know how we're going to do it, but it's an issue we're starting to take up now. Brett Olds has been particularly strong on this matter.
Yeah.
So we've got to keep banging the drum. Otherwise, we're going to get these near misses and tragedies more and more frequently.
Yes, and if you want to get people to go to North Queensland, fuck it, otherwise we'll go to Africa.
Well, precisely, yeah. No, it's an awful bloody business. I really appreciate the fact that you're prepared to go out there and bang the drum on this front and have been doing it for years.
Well, when this guy came up and told me why, I said a crocodile come out the cave, picked up the pig, took it to the creek. I didn't know she'd lost her marbles or he'd lost his.
Yeah.
Because I thought, this got to be bullshit, you know. But it wasn't, John.
There you go. Always good to talk to you, John.
John, the difference is Brett Muller was born on the bloody Behanna crossing, you know, on the creek, on the Behanna River there.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, he and his brother and his father, and that's all they ever did was bloody fish. And as he's got older like me, he's got more and more and more aware that the days of swimming at the Viana Creek in the wet season are no longer there.
Yeah, exactly. And Alan Benn too, well, obviously, he's been very much on the front foot. Calling for fundamentally the leaders of our community to become more responsible and provide safe places for families so we don't have to take a risk.
John, this bullcrap about they're natural. They're in the wild. That's the way it is.
Mm.
No, John, that's not the way it is. Mm. Go back through human history and see how things have changed. And they change because your first thing you've got to do in this world is keep humans alive. You know, can you think of anything worse than your 7 or 10-year-old grandson going down, him and his mate, and fishing, like where I am, back East Creek, fishing for muncod that, and only one comes running home?
Yeah.
Hey, John, you live with that forever, wouldn't you?
Exactly. John, good to talk to you again. Really appreciate your contributions on this front. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, John.
It's John Mondora.